You've been talking about the doppelganger, and yeah. I'm wondering when that comes into the vocabulary for your work.
I showed these things that I was doing in 94 in Boston, the shadow drawings there. There's this one-to-one relationship. I was looking for a way to name them, because my experience with most viewers at that time was they liked the object, but they didn't like the drawing, or they liked the drawing and they didn't like the object, and that I wanted them to be viewed as twins, as two things next to each other, juxtaposed. So doppelganger was word that I could frame that event with, so that hopefully people would look at that way, that they were counterparts for each other. Not in the way that cloned sheep are, but in a way that two similar things could be.
Do you think it still applies to this more recent work?
No.
It's a nice term, though.
It's beautiful.
It sounds great.
I think that the interesting thing is that, for example, the drawings and the object look more and more like each other, unlike the doppelgangers. And it's very difficult to figure out which one's first. With the doppelgangers, you could see that the light was a point of origin and it cast a shadow. You could track through the process. When you look at the work on paper and the work in the room, it's not clear if these are drawings for this sculpture or these. Is this a picture of that or is that a picture of this? And I think that's really much more interesting place for me to be.
I like the doppelganger term because it implies a psychological dimension. I think the definition is something like the ghost or the double that haunts its counterpart, which I don't see in the later work, but I think in the earlier work gives it a certain dimension. And of course, from your discussion, it's clearly relevant.
Are we ready to move to questions? Let's do
it. Sure.
Yeah.
Throw in. Yes, I'll repeat it so that we can get it on tape.
Howard made the distinction between something taking its inspiration from a source as opposed to something being, in this case, local. And now you're talking about the doppelganger, which seems linked to that in some way, that there's a pairing of some kind going on. And I remember you, Sheila, were talking about the shoelaces, using lace to make lace. And then you said a moment ago how thrilled you were that the doppelgangers had an isthmus, a little contact point, while remaining totally separate. And I'm wondering if that is still more in the work, even more in the work, but in ways that are less categorically, in ways that combine more distant categories of stuff.
You're drawing some really interesting parallels between the doppelgangers and the parts to the whole. Is that right? And the current work in the parts.
I keep going back to using laces to make lace. You know, in that sense, those are two very different things that are locked together with a curious kind of some kind of an umbilical cord.
Can you give me a couple of months with that one? You know, what's interesting to me, you think with words in a way that I don't. Lace to make laces, wow. I mean, laces to make.
It.
I did?
Yeah.
I just but, never. But when you say it, it sounds so cool. There's a part and parcel thing going on here that I can't quite describe to you, but I recognize in what you're saying. You know, going back to the inspired by. Can you help me with that? You said it's inspired by, but it's not about, right? Okay. I think there's this thing about it being subject or object. And I think that, maybe I'm an idiot, but I think that there's something really confusing about that in art at this moment. There is for me. It's like, is this about that or is it from this place? And mostly, I can tell you where the work is from. But I usually can't tell you what the work is about. And part of me doesn't really want to tell you that because I don't feel like that's wholly my job. And from observation, I can see other artists who I admire. Well, I will argue with them about how much control they will want to have about the meaning of their work. And I think as artists in general, we get into like really bad places when we need to control absolutely every meaning of the work. So I can tell you a lot about my subject position and about what the work is drawing from, but I don't always know what it's about, and it takes me a long time to figure out. It takes me a long time to look at my own work and look back and know what the next move was. It's kind of like why I showed you that little object with the shoelace in it. Oh, if I, you know, if I was just paying attention.
Going back to lace and laces, it seems to me this is a perfect Duchampian kind of language, this system with using the puns and languages and words having two meanings, and Raymond Roussel and going back with those meanings. And this seems to be exactly in that same category, and probably is a thing that came, I assume, after the fact. You know, you say, oh, when all of a sudden, when Sheila said, my grandfather was a shoemaker, and that's how the shoelaces got in there, I'm thinking, that ain't the way it happened. I'm thinking that, so the shoelaces found their way in, and she said, that's right, my grandfather was a shoemaker. That's the connection.
No, in truth, it was New York and going down to the place. My grandfather had a shoe repair shop on the corner, on the sort of acute corner of Trinity Place and Greenwich, and it is now the exit ramp for the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. So it was this non-location now. It's like a hole in the ground.
And let's have questions. To the extent that I can repeat them, I will. The question is, how does Sheila get from the lap with the crochet to the space? How is she thinking about moving from the intimate space to the larger one?
Mm-hmm. I'll just take you through it physically. I make things that sort of fit on my lap or my table, which is about this big. And then they get thrown in a box one after another without really even looking at them. And then the first time around, they got put up piece by piece. And if you look carefully, you can see individual pieces and tied together very carefully. Then it gets cut out of the space and sent back to the studio. And more materials are purchased and more shoelaces are tied together and crocheted. And we have a pile of things that get cannibalized, and then all the new stuff. And when the old stuff comes back to the studio, I hang it all up and make sure it's structurally sound, because when you cut the laces, you can pull them out, but you've got to reconfigure it so it doesn't fall apart. So there's a mix of pile of stuff that hasn't been looked at and sections that have been re-crocheted into larger panels that have been looked at. Then they all go into the box to the next location. When I first started, it was like a big jigsaw puzzle. Less and less, it's like a big jigsaw puzzle. More and more, it's string the things up in space and pull them and stretch them and unravel them. And there are a couple of things that are really important. They're really light. They're really simple to ship. I love how economical it is. When I go to a space, I get two things. I get a floor plan, and I get snapshots or JPEGs or something of the space. And I use those like flashcards. I just look through them. I just keep them at my hand and look through them and take certain views. And then the floor plans, I get tons of copies of them, and I do scribble drawings on them, kind of an aerial path of, well, it could go this way or it could go that. But I don't really have any memory of that, any of that stuff. It's just like more doodling. And then once I get to the space, I look for details of a particular space, like when I didn't see before, but in this place, there are these great holes in the I-beams that I used. I wouldn't have seen that from anything. A lot of it is from real specific little hardware points or junctures. We painted some, so they're like points that get articulated and then built up like a big drawing.
The question is, you mentioned the relationship between subject and object, and what are your thoughts about using an object to make an object?
In my mind, the object, the shoelace, it's going to have a certain perimeter of meaning. And I'm responsible for sort of scanning what that meaning is beyond my grandfather. It's kind of like the narrative for Josephine. Like, we've got a problem here. That's the only reason why I'm using it. So what are the other things about it? I like that it's this, you know, strange thing that you do find lying around the house. I like that it has had a utility, and that specifically that object I'm finding is designed for that utility. What it's designed to be tied and retied. It's designed to have these little, I think it's called, they're called egglet, those little plastic ends. They're really durable, And they're a sort of given length, so you can play with that. There's a beginning and end throughout the whole. So there's certain things physically that I like about it. And those physical attributes are tied to its original identity, to tie your shoe together. And then I like that it belongs to a shoe. It's not a shoe. It's not a heel or, you know, when I thought about, well, what are all the things I could pick to do to honor my grandfather? I could get a lot of shoes. I could get a lot of soles. I could get, you know, what? Oh, shoelace. Well, shoelace already fits into my framework of all these other things that I'm thinking about. So that's an appropriate way to patch from what I'm doing to grow the work into a new direction. This is totally stretching it, but even the desire to move this operation out onto the street, shoelace would be a good thing. Every year there's this fundraiser at Artist Space where they ask you to give drawings. So this year I'm looking for stuff at home, but it's not a studio. And I found a really nice little group of Margaret Burke-White photographs, postcards that I had, and I just perfed the ends and started crocheting around them. And one of them is of all these people crossing the street, and it's like, oh, look, shoelaces. So there's these funny little moments where I think, well, that's the seed to something. I'm not exactly sure what, but that kind of amplifies the object.
The question relates to the idea of the disruption or reconfiguration of the domestic and also the reconfiguration or the breakdown of the locale with the vast technologies that we have. Is the construction of the work breaking down or building up the domestic?
Basically, you're concerned with, do I see myself healing the domestic or disrupting it?
Yes.
I'm going to be the politician, both. I mean, that's the dilemma, isn't it? I mean, on one hand, I would like keenly to be able to provide some continuity in honoring the domestic. And in that way, it's bridging a feminist agenda intergenerationally by using that aesthetic. Faith Wilding's womb rooms, which I didn't know about until recently. There's a certain amount of continuity that uses the domestic language as a feminist agenda. But by my mother's standards, I am a total domestic failure. And I'm really happy about it. It's like, yes, and either or. What I think is happening is that I feel like I'm describing that dilemma and trying to sort of bridge those two locations and not let the specificity of those two locations go, because I believe that to illuminate the edge between those two places, you have to have them both.
The question relates to, how does looking at the idea of the breakdown of the locale and the differences in locale, how does Sheila want the outsider from her locale to be able to read into what she's created, translating between one locale and another?
This is a tough question to answer because it means that I'm going to tell you what I want you to see before you go in there, which I'm kind of opposed to. Let me say this on the outside. There's probably a lot more going on, I hope to God, there's a lot more going on in there than about this particular topic. The other thing is that through Ashley's generosity, she's allowed me to make work that stretches my own work a little bit. I mean, I'm not producing something that she knew was going to happen a year ago. My ideas have changed and I'm growing in public. What do I know about it right now? I'm using the title and some visual language in the drawing on paper as a frame of this investigation. What I think will happen is that you will be able to draw a comparison, or you will be able to draw a connection between the work on paper and the work in space, and that mostly stylistically, there'll be something about the way things are drawn that refer to a kind of abstraction that happened in New York at the middle part of this, early middle part of the century. It's probably a pretty broad net. I'm just telling you exactly what I know.